I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. It's another new episode of the LCJ Q&A podcast. Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man is getting a makeover with Sony Pictures Animation's Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse in theaters Thursday, December 13th at 5 p.m. Joining me to talk about it, producer Christina Steinberg. Christina, how you doing?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great. Have you always been a Spider-Man fan? Has it been in your blood your whole life?
I actually have been. I have been a huge Spider-Man and actually a huge Marvel fan since the very beginning.
Wow.
It was really exciting to work on this movie, as you can imagine.
Yeah, so you worked with Peter Ramsey, one of the co-directors of this movie, previously on DreamWorks' Rise of the Guardians, and I got to talk with him 6 years ago for that. Is he the one who brought you on to this project?
Actually, we both came on at the same time. Christine Belson, who was head of development at DreamWorks when Peter and I were there producing Guardians and Peter directing, she came over to Sony Animation, and when that movie, when Spider-Man started up, she asked if Peter and I wanted to come on board. Bob Persichetti, who I also know incredibly well from our DreamWorks days, was already on board as a director, and Phil and Chris were obviously the wonderful godfathers and producers from the beginning as well.
Yeah, Phil Lord and Christopher Miller have done Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs for Sony, which was a huge success, the Lego movie and the Jump Street movies as well. Could you tell from them, could you tell from the directors, everybody you've been working with, that this was kind of going to be a very different take on the Spider-Man story and something that the audiences really have not seen before?
It is, and it really felt that way from the beginning. The ambitions of everybody, and really beginning with Chris and Phil, who originated this idea of making the Miles Morales version of Spider-Man, it was very clear it was going to be pushed in terms of storytelling, in terms of artistry, in terms of production design, and it felt really exciting from the moment I started.
So I was actually at New York Comic Con in October for the Q&A, the panel, but also getting to see the first 35 minutes of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Yeah, it was amazing because everybody in the audience, including myself, we were all stunned that everybody came out and they said, we're going to show you the first 35 minutes. And yeah, it is jam-packed with action. It is jam-packed with heart. From a publicity and a marketing standpoint, how did you and everybody else at Sony decide to make a decision like that to show the first 35 minutes and getting a lot of benefit out of that?
Well, I think that, as you said, it is so jam-packed. It felt really difficult to know where to cut off the reel if we were going to not show as much. It really to understand the story of Miles and his relationship in this universe to the Peter Parker who you meet. We couldn't figure out a better way to show it than to just reveal his relationship with the old Peter Parker and the new one, and explain that Miles is in a different universe than the one that people expect him to be in, which is the original Spider-Verse and the original Spider-Man from the movies that people all know and love.
Sure. Well, yeah, I think audiences, we all were applauding at the end, and we all took our oath to not spoil things online, and I think it all worked out really well. And I got a sense that when the cast came out, and the crew members as well, that this is a movie of the moment for this character, for superhero films, for African Americans. How do you see Spider-Verse as a movie of the here and now?
Well, I think that it is really exciting to show the diversity of the world we now live in. I mean, Miles is half Puerto Rican, half African American. He comes from Brooklyn in a very contemporary, modern Brooklyn that we all know. And just to show him in the world that we live in hasn't really been done before. And I think, you know, Miles is really, right now, one of the most popular of the Marvel characters in the comic books. And to open that up and share that, and I think especially at a time when Black Panther came out this year, too, it feels really exciting that there's diversity in comic book heroes right now.
And there are so many characters, there's so many dimensions as people are going to see this movie, so many layers. Would you say that you relate to Miles the most, or which of the many characters in this film would you say you relate to the most?
You know, I actually relate to so many of them on different levels. I think for me, as a woman and as a mother, there's something really exciting about having Spider-Gwen in the movie and showing a really capable, strong female character as a superhero. So I might say that Gwen just, I relate to on some level as a woman and a mom. But, I mean, I think all of them, even Burrito Peter, I understand the world weariness. And we call him Burrito Peter because he used to eat a burrito constantly in the early incarnation of this movie. But the Jake Johnson Peter Parker, I love his perspective on the world and his being a little world weary, but learning how to find his spirit again and jumping back into his life.
Yeah, Jake Johnson was very funny at the Q&A. You got quite a cast in this movie. Shameik Moore from Dope, Haley Steinfeld, Mahershala Ali in Green Book right now, Brian Tyree Henry in Widows right now. Could you tell in working with them that they could feel how important this movie is, these characters, these roles, and this film in general?
Absolutely. I mean, the cast was so extraordinary. It really was our dream cast, and we couldn't believe when they all said yes. I think that they really were so attracted to the depth of the screenplay and the writing, and first of all, being able to tell the story of this diverse, new kind of a Spider-Man, a new world. But really, I mean, Brian, the relationship between Brian Tyree and Shameik, who are Jefferson and Miles in the movie, is so strong, and it's really the core and the foundation of the film. And it's so heartwarming that I think he really understood that we were trying to tell an emotional, strong family story at the core of this. And I think all the cast did. I think Shameik really understood what this meant for him as an actor, being able to play such a unique and exciting new kind of Spider-Man.
And he was talking about how he had written in a notebook a couple years earlier that he wanted to be Miles Morales in a movie at some point, and then he got the gig. That is an incredible story.
I know. He told us that after we actually cast him, so it was really a wonderful surprise. When we first were looking for who to play Miles, we had heard Shameik and we knew him from Dope, and we were trying to get him quickly on, get a sample of his voice so that we could really evaluate it. He was working on another film at the time, so he literally recorded in his closet over his iPhone, and we heard his recording, and we fell in love with him, and we were like, that's Miles, just right away. And it was only during our first recording session when he told us that story, that this was his dream, and it was written in his journal.
Wow. Yeah, that is amazing. My guest right now, Christina Steinberg, producer of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. The animation, it's so complex. Maybe the most ambitious visual film you've done at Sony Pictures Animation. From your viewpoint, what did it seem like was the most challenging visual aspect to be put into the film?
There's a couple of things that were really challenging. First of all, I think it was really expanding the visual style, the color palette, and really trying to make this feel different than any other CG animated movie we've seen before. We really wanted to make it feel as if a comic book had come to life. And to achieve that, this idea of hand drawing every frame on top of the CG animation to give it that comic book quality was incredibly challenging, and to be honest, we weren't sure it was going to work for the longest time, and we were pretty far into production before we saw a final lit frame that proved it would work. But it was really a leap of faith, which is a funny thing to say because that's a key phrase in our film as well. But we really just held hands and believed that with the production designer Justin, who's so extraordinary, and image work, we'd be able to achieve it. And I think the other thing that was really difficult is having all these different spider people come from different universes where there's different textures and different dimensions, and noir to be black and white, to have Penny be an anime character from an anime world and from the future. We really weren't sure at first that all of these characters would visually live together on screen at the same time. And it was another challenge that caused many sleepless nights, but we were really so excited when we finally saw that it could work.
Yeah, I mean, you see the little sidebars like a comic book with some of the dialogue or some of the thoughts from the characters in the scenes in the film, and also when watching these trailers and seeing all these different versions of Spider-Man come together, I think audiences are really pumped. Also getting them pumped is the music, the soundtrack, Post Malone doing a song for the soundtrack. How was it? Was it important for you to get somebody who speaks to the younger demographic, maybe the comic book audience, somebody of the here and now in that respect, to do some of the music?
Absolutely. I mean, I think we wanted, what was really important for us was, for the music, was to make it feel like it belonged to Miles and Miles' world. And so it needed to feel contemporary and soulful, and that is so much who Post Malone is. He's such an extraordinary artist. And I think the entire soundtrack really reflects Miles, his universe, his appreciation of the world and his view of the world, but it also reflects Uncle Aaron. We have a little tribute to Uncle Aaron, who's such a huge influence in his life, and we really tried to play with the kind of music that Aaron would listen to in his world as well. And sort of weaving the song together with the soundtrack was something we spent a lot of time on, and we're so lucky to have Daniel Pemberton come on board to score the movie.
Yeah, and for years I said, why don't major studios put out new fully animated films around Christmas time? We've seen some live action with some animation, but fully animated movies around Christmas time. And then a few years ago, the studios finally decided to do that. These Spider-Man movies that have come out are normally released in the summertime. They're big summer blockbusters. Why do you think Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse will play well over the holiday season?
Well, I think at its core, it's a superhero movie, but it's really about family, and it's about a young man trying to find his way in the world and live up to his family's expectations and live up to his goals for himself. But there's so much warmth in there and heart that I think it felt it really belonged to Christmas time.
And I think it's going to work for families, and I think it's going to make you all a whole lot of money. It's going to do really well over the holiday season.
Well, we hope it reaches families. We really
do.
And it's a crowded marketplace, but we're excited.
Yeah, yeah. And the last thing I want to ask you, Christina, It's a very mild spoiler. People have already talked about it online through the first 35 minutes. There is an appearance by the late Stan Lee. It is a very good cameo that takes place early on in the film. Did you have a chance to meet and work with Stan on this cameo for the film?
I did. It was truly one of the most extraordinary moments of my career as a producer. As I said, I was a huge fan always of Marvel and of Spider-Man, and I was so looking forward to meeting him on this movie. He was so wonderful. We went to his offices. We recorded him. He loved the artwork. We showed him what the movie was going to look like. And he was so wonderful and gracious and really worked with us on the line. And he will be sorely, sorely missed, but he is an inspiration for every single person who worked on this movie. And I feel so lucky to have been able to meet him.
Wow. Yeah, and I think he's got to be so proud of where Spider-Man has gone. I don't think anybody could ever imagine with the success of Spider-Man with these live-action movies and now with this animated movie. Got to be so proud of all that you guys have accomplished. So congratulations, Christina, on this movie.
Thank you so much. I will say the most important thing that we talked about with Stan that day was just what he was able to contribute to the world and to the legacy of Spider-Man and superheroes, which is that anyone can be behind the mask, and that we all have that ability and that power, and that was something that Stan was so excited about that we were going to highlight in this movie.
Wonderful. The legacy of Stan Lee will live on. The legacy of Spider-Man will live on with Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Again, it opens in theaters, swinging on into theaters, Thursday, December 13th at 5 p.m. Christina Steinberg, thank you so much for being on the LCJ Q&A today.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the LCJ Q&A podcast. Want to listen to more? Check them out. Apple Podcasts, Podbean, and lights-camera-jackson.com. We'll see you next time. I'm Lights Camera Jackson.